We have Dr. Max Moreno, who is a NASA postdoctoral program. He's a fellow in the NASA postdoctoral program at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Moreno earned his PhD in environmental health from the University of South Alabama in 2008. He's been at NASA in Huntsville for about 2 years, and he's fixing to start his third year with us. Max.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks, all of you, for being here. This study I'm presenting is a pilot study for a future project to identify areas at risk of helminthiasis in Nicaragua. Investigators in this project are here in this room. David, Roberto, Sue are part of this team. The approach at this part of the project is to evaluate the feasibility of using remote sensing technology, more specifically MODIS, the sensor MODIS, to identify those areas at risk, and eventually to better allocate limited public health resources in those areas that have been identified with remote sensing. So no relationship to disclose. So I will start my presentation with a brief description of the disease, some of the factors associated with it, some of the effects of this disease, and then briefly describe the study area, the type of data in situ and remote sensing data, and finally some preliminary results and conclusions since this work is just starting. So it is widely known that many environmental determinants of health can be estimated with remote sensing, but also some factors associated to some economical and social factors associated to conditions of poverty and lack of sanitation may also be able to be inferred with remote sensing. That's what increased the potential of using this technology when dealing with diseases like helminthiasis, which are strongly associated to those conditions of poverty and lack of sanitation. In this case, we are focusing more in two classical environmental parameters, which are temperature and soil moisture, but we are also trying land cover, land use, which with some adjustment can be used to identify areas of poverty that are those where this disease is more prevalent. So schistosomiasis is a disease caused by several species of helminths, better known as intestinal worms. They are called that way because of the shape similarity with the earthworms, although the two are not related. A more technical way to refer to this disease is a soil-transmitted helminth infection. And I will explain later why the word soil is in there. Diseases are between the group of the so-called neglected diseases, which, as the name implies, they are called that way because they have usually not given the importance that they deserve. And this is in part because those are diseases usually not lethal, because also probably because they have been traditionally considered as diseases of the poor only, since they are those more likely to live under those conditions of poverty. Within that sector of the population, the school-aged children are those more at risk of suffering the disease. Now, again, as this disease is usually not lethal, however, the effect it causes in communities in those countries where this disease is prevalent are huge. In adults, this disease causes physical weakness, lack of productivity. In kids, reduced physical growth, and impaired cognitive functions. And of course, all these effects increase with the intensity of the infection. So at this point, you may be wondering, how come this parasite that is in the intestine can be inferred with remote sensing? Well, what happened is part of the life cycle of this parasite has place in the environment, more specifically in the soil. And being the soil is where this parasite can be inferred with remote sensing. Two of the parasites we are considering in this study, Ascaris lumbricoides and Trichuris trichura, start the life cycle with the eggs entering through the oral route, and then they require between 2 to 3 months in the human body to reach the point at which the next generation of eggs can be released into the environment, more specifically in the soil, and then from there repeat the cycle again. So once in the soil, they depend from given temperature different given condition of environmental condition. Among the most important are temperature and soil moisture. Those two parameters can be estimated with remote sensing. And depending on those conditions, they may last years in the soil just waiting for the opportunity to infect a host. But they need at least 2 or 3 weeks to reach the point at which they can infect again and repeat the cycle. So those are eggs of Ascaris suu. It's a very close species to Ascaris lumbricoides. It's usually used as a proxy of Ascaris lumbricoides. So this is the form, that's how this parasite look at this stage of eggs. And this is how it looks at the adult stage. Our study site is in a small area called Boaco in Nicaragua, Central America. And the in-situ data for this study came from a survey conducted by a non-profit organization called AMUS Health and Hope in Nicaragua. They conducted this survey last year, 2010, in October. They tested for these three parasites, Ascaris lumbricoides, Trichuris tricura, and Cirrostoma duodenalis. They are all causing helminthiasis. For this survey, the parents of about 400 school-aged children give the consent for the kids to participate in the survey. This image is a land surface temperature image as a product of MODIS. This is basically a mean of all the good quality images that happened during a year from August 21 to August 15. As we zoom in the image, we can see the location of the households where the kids that participated in the study are. We can see that spatial resolution is a little bit of an issue. If we consider that there are 2 or 3 households in a pixel and there are 2 or 3 kids in each household, then we were going to have a large number of kids with the same reading in temperature, which is a little limiting factor. However, we still can see difference in temperature, mostly because, and luckily, because this is a mountainous area. If it was a flat land, probably 12 kilometers, which is more or less the distance between one side to the other in this study site, would have not been enough to notice differences in temperature. But because this is mountainous, because of altitude, in a relatively short distance, we can see those differences in temperature. As that's how we can see the different colors, the different gradients of colors in the different pixels. Each color represents a temperature, basically. Now, we don't know the health status of those kids in those households. The way we work it is like we don't load the remote sensing data. We send the data to those who conducted the survey, to AMUS, and they match it with the health data, and they send us back the matched pairs, and we retake it from there. Since soil moisture is the other very determinant factor determining the survival of those eggs in the soil, we use this product of MODIS called Normalized Different Vegetation Index. This product basically measures how green the vegetation is, but under the assumption that the greener the vegetation is, the more soil moisture there is in the soil, we use this product in the hypothesis that can work as a proxy for soil moisture. This is the same image when we zoom out. The areas, the dark green and bluish areas, are areas with where vegetation is greener. Basically, this is covered the interval between August 5 and August 25. So it doesn't really mean that this is the average color of the vegetation during the entire year. It's just for that period of time. It may be that during that period, rain in those areas and didn't rain in the others. So this way, the difference in the colors. Brown and dry are, and yellow are the dry areas. We also use land cover, land use, in case that the different type of land classes have different prevalences in the disease. There's an image zooming out. This histogram shows the prevalence of the disease at different temperatures. We see that at the far right, the two columns at the far right, they show that all the patients at that temperature were infected, show 100% prevalence. Still, that is not enough for us to, with confidence, say that beyond that temperature, 30.8 Celsius, is the temperature beyond which the prevalence of this disease significantly increased, because those two columns are too small. There are very few patients at that temperature. So we will have need like more columns to the right with the same behavior to more confidently indicate that this could be that limiting limit temperature. For Ascaris lumbricoides, the other parasite, the previous one was for Trichuris dicura. This one for Ascaris lumbricoides, we didn't see any colon where the prevalence was 100%, but still, again, we see the last colon at the far right with the highest prevalence. And Cyclostoma duodenale, the prevalence was very low, probably just by coincidence, again, the last, the colon at the far right has the highest prevalence, but again, the colon is so small that we need more patients to draw conclusions from there. And for NDVI, we couldn't appreciate any tendency that would lead us to suggest any type of trend. In the land cover classification, among all the land classes that this product has, we found four classes present in our study site, and of those, one has a prevalence higher than 50%. Now, this land classification was not designed specifically for this site, so the name of the class might make no sense when we compare it to the prevalence, the larger, the more or less prevalence that it may have. So it will require something called supervised classification. We will need to go to the area and searching for features in the land that could explain why a prevalence would be higher in under that land. We found features that will explain it, that will make sense of why there is a greater prevalence, things like more conditions of poverty or something like that, then we certainly can use this land class to identify areas at risk of this disease. So, because of the study site was so small, we couldn't cover enough range in temperature like to appreciate with confidence different differences in the temperature and a more determinant limiting in temperature. However, we can suggest that temperature beyond 30.8, so far at this point, we will suggest that that temperature seems to be that one at which the prevalence will increase. We will need more, a larger number of patients, a larger area of study with a larger range in temperature to confirm this. With some supervised classification, we also maybe able to use land cover land use to identify those areas at greater risk. And then with normalized different vegetation index, we could then notice any promising result. It doesn't mean that the product is useless for this purpose, it just means that we might need a larger area of study to find those limits we were looking for. With this, I finish my presentation. If I don't know if we have time for a question now or later at the end.
Okay. Somebody's got one.
So if anyone has a question, I will be happy to try to answer it. Otherwise, we just move to. Thank you.